This is RSVMB Update, episode 495, recorded Friday, December 12th, 2014. Let's get ready to rumble. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVNB Update, another episode in the can. Slowly moving forward to the terminus of 2014 and into 2015, but before we do that, there's a couple things left to do. This episode, and maybe two others, perhaps three, with this co-host. Hi.
Hi, everybody.
To your penultimate normal episode.
You're calling us too normal?
Well, I mean the normal episode, as in not a clip show, right? Little bit of a RS update this week. The Snoverlord and Dominion Tower rework. What are we starting with?
Well, first thing we started off with is Snoverlord and the Rumble Mode. So Rumble Mode is basically ability for you to gather all your quote-unquote friends and go into Dominion Tower and fight a bunch of bosses together.
Yeah, it's basically like a team kind of Slayer type thing. Numerous FPS games have had this before, and it's quite, frankly, an interesting mechanic, and it's nice to see coming into the game, specifically since Dominion Tower was a single-player activity. So, happy about that, to say the least. There's various power-ups you can get in the Rumble mode. The booster, vigorous, healing, and volatile orbs. In this order, the booster doubles Dominion factor gain on the user, which is nice. Vigorous Orb grants infinite adrenaline for 30 seconds.
Woohoo! Look at all the ultimate abilities I cannot use.
Yeah. And, I mean, that really goes a whole new way of how combat works, because imagine you could use the defensive ones to save yourself. You could use the healing ones. Then, of course, all the damage ones you can muster in 30 seconds. So this seems OP on the surface, but I guess when you're fighting up to 10 bosses, you do truly need something that is OP. The healing orb heals all players' life points and prayer points by 50% of maximum. Always nice to see healing mechanics in-game. And the volatile orb imparts a random effect, more likely to be beneficial than not, but risky nonetheless.
Okay. So, let's see. When a person dies, they are removed. They can only watch in spectator mode, but there does not decrease the cap on bosses for the instant. So, it is really interesting to keep your teammates alive.
Yeah, and I mean, that really goes to the whole thing, that it is a true rumble in that sense, that, you know, when you're moving through the rumble mode, you're ultimately going to have to rely on your teammates, and if they can't compete, there you're not going to be that useful to you, so you better have competent teammates in this. Ultimately, I think that this is a good teamwork activity, probably the most team-intensive thing we have in-game, next to Rise of the Six, because whether or not you like it, Castle Wars, Trouble Brewing, those sorts of things are team-centric, yes, but they're not exactly dependent on your team success or failure. So that's in mind there. You know, I think that the whole randomness issue of, you know, the volatile orb and whatnot, you know, if you were to use one of these, I think that'd be really in part with Dominion Tower. Because one of the first things ever happened at Dominion Tower for me was I had the job of fighting Elvarg without a Dragonfire shield. So that's just the name of the game for Dominion Tower, and it's a fun thing more than a competitive thing. Oh shit, we're gonna die and we're gonna lose all our items. Oh no. So that's always in the top of my mind for this, and I think that is what makes Dominion Tower really interesting for me, is that form of combat where it's not true death, but at the end, you are working towards a common team objective in that. So it's good nonetheless.
Okay. Cool.
I actually gave this a bit of a go. And when I was doing it, you know, it was a single person doing it, granted. But it's still interesting to see what can happen. I mean, I was up against Yelps, the big Dagonoth from the Dagonoth quest, and one other one from some relatively minor quest that I don't exactly remember which quest it was. But it was, what was it? It was some guy that looked like a Earth kind of statue or something like that. I don't know. But it's a fun mechanic nonetheless, and a nice way of stressing yourself and seeing what you can ultimately do. And I'm not sure if we mentioned, but if you bring 5 people into this, you will have 10 bosses to fight simultaneously.
Okay, yeah. So more people you bring, the more bosses that come out, and go for it. Have some fun.
Yep. And of course, along with this update, new bosses coming into play. Apep and Haru from Diamond in the Rough, Vanstrom from Branches of Darkmire. That was an interesting quest with the vampires there, where we finally got into that city. Char from the Firemaker's Curse. That one was kind of difficult, if I remember correctly, right? Dawn from Death of Chivalry. Khazard and the Allies from Ritual of the Majorat. That was a fun battle. Zimurigal and Inakra from The World Wakes. Yelts from The Mighty Fall. Extra spin for the win.
And Lol.
Yeah, from Mighty Fall as well. Chaos Grimson and Haridmor from Birthright of the Dwarves. Echo of Jazz and Dragon Hunters from One of a Kind. Those ones were nice. And Niel Swiftling from Glorious Memories.
Yeah, and a couple rewards is our Dreadnibs can now have their combat style switched. So sort of click on them to make the change. Dominion Markers now grant you increased combat stats. And there's a new upgrade tier for the Dominion Medallion, meaning better stats, more teleport to the tower, and a style universal accuracy buff. Work up 1800 kills in Rumble to unlock it.
So, just a couple notes here. Dreadnips, good. That is a change that was needed since EOC. Don't know why it didn't happen with the summoning update or sooner. Dominion Markers, good. And the Dominion Medallion. Now, I guess we need something we can use in Dominion Tower that's got its own special perks, and that's just fine. This, though, does have the stats of a Fury. So keep that in mind if you're considering what you want to wear. So it's not exactly something that is OP in any sense, but it will be useful for you in Dominion Tower nonetheless. So that distinction should be made about the stats of this medallion before anyone tries to rush it. That if you're looking for something that is, you know, going to work in the real world and not the Dominion Tower, the Dominion Medallion is an option, but it's going to do the same thing as a Fury. So just keep that in mind, seeing that the price of a Fury right now is currently about 1 million.
Okay.
So
all right.
Keep that in mind.
And yeah, so anyway, that's pretty much wraps it up for the Dominion Tower update. So if you have some friends, go fight along. If you haven't done it in a while, go at it, kill some stuff, and do some spins and see if you get lucky or not.
Yeah, and I should say that I'm not really a combat person. I never really completed Dominion Tower the first time around. Just because it's not my kind of update. But nonetheless, it's interesting to see how far you can go and with all the various handicaps that get put into place. And, I mean, who could resist or who wouldn't want to fight Yelps again? Mm-hmm. I guess this is the retirement, right?
His retirement is to fight us every day till his death. Yeah. Seems
kinda
more like a curse, really.
Yeah, it's kind of like that one DS9 episode with the people in the Gamma Quadrant that were sentenced to an eternal war. Even if they die, they come back and they need to continue fighting.
Yeah, they were zombies.
Yeah, that's essentially what Dominion Tower is. If these bosses did have any sense of self, I don't know if they do, though.
But. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to the next thing, which is Snoverload, the Christmas boss. So, members only for the month of December until they're done. Fight these evil snowmen and take them back to the crater, finish it off, and get a little bit of prize.
Yeah.
And I can tell by Shane's size, he hates this update with a passion.
No, I don't hate it. It's a Christmas update, so it can't be all that bad, right?
Mm-hmm. You sighed.
Well, yeah, for one reason. Actually, two. First reason being is that the reward from fighting the Snoverload is... or Snoverlord?
Mm-hmm.
Snoverload. Okay. The reward from fighting this huge snowman is a little bit of extra Christmas paper that you can deliver to Santa and, you know, the party cracker in Lumbridge. So the question is, with this, like, okay, why are we fighting this? And number two, it is a community endeavor. It happens once every 3 hours, so I don't particularly know if there's a way to see when the next time is coming on this. Last time I checked, it wasn't in the little timekeeper's piece inside the adventurers tab. So that's kind of annoying in that way, that you need to be on and you can't, you know, plan around when this is actually going to happen. So that's part of it. And ultimately, the boss fight itself is a ranged boss fight. You can use your abilities, which I thought was interesting, and you just pelt snowballs at the thing and lower it to 5,000 HP, and then you got to lure it to the Lumbridge Crater, and that is the hard part, realizing or getting people to realize that you don't need to continually be attacking this thing on the way. It's not going to, you know, lose aggro on whoever's in the group. Just as long as the entire group makes its way to the Lumbridge Crater, the snowman will follow you. So it's kind of annoying to do on worlds where there's lots of people, because people might not exactly continue on and know what they're doing with this. So it requires the cooperation and understanding of a lot of people, which, you know, when combined with just a general population who might just be doing this and not even know what it's about, it just doesn't, you know, create the sense of feeling polished. And the reward for doing it is okay, but it's not ideal in my view. So,
okay,
not really a fan of it.
Okay, let me see. And let's see, what were the prizes for this thing again?
There were none.
I thought it was something. Oh, contributors to taking down Snoverlow will receive 2 festive papers.
Yep.
And be able ability to deliver a second present that day.
Yep.
So yeah. Anyway,
but yeah, you know what the clincher is? You know what the clincher is? What? Once the Christmas cracker gets to 80-90%, you need to be online at whenever this is gonna be happening, whenever you want to pull the cracker. And I haven't been online when the cracker's been ready to be pulled. I don't know how to tell when it's going to be ready to be pulled, aside from, you know, just checking in sporadically throughout the day. But more on this in the behind the scenes and the possible resolution to this. So just keep this in mind going forward.
I don't got time to wait around all day.
Exactly.
Hoping for that thing to pop.
Exactly.
Every time I go over there, it's like, oh, it's at 20. Oh, it's at 40. Oh, it's at 60. And then, oh, it's back to 5. Oh, that means I missed it. Okay. Anything else with this 2 little things? I don't think there's anything real.
Yeah, not really. I mean, we could probably talk about Dominion Tower more, but as I mentioned, we're really not combat people. And I think
I just need to actually go and buy Dragors. I've been lazy. I've been lazy to get them.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't really need them for most things, but they're nice to have.
You remember my little... Well, it's my New Year resolution to do more boss fighting, but it's been a whole year. I was like, I still didn't do any boss fighting. Man!
Alrighty. But yeah, the real story, I think, coming from this update is that Dreadnips have been rebalanced for the current combat system, which is good. and most of what was good from Dominion Tower came from the first batch, and this is just a, you know, a nice batch of cleanup. So I'm good to move on.
Well, one thing about Dominion Tower, I'm kind of curious if they even bother with the grouping system with that thing. Because it would be something they could do, but I don't know if they did it or not, and I wonder how many people offline when they try to make a group.
Well, they fixed that in the patch, but anyways, we're waffling on about something that was supposedly fixed. Alrighty. Next up, we have the tweaks and fixes for the week. Anything jumping out at you?
For tweaks and fixes, not really. I mean, Ninja update, they can find many more orts as they collect today via right-click option on them. Or if they have collected. Oh, I did not know that. Yeah, check limit. You have received 16 of 200 or whatever it was. Okay. And left-click option to charming aim is now wear instead of talk to. That's kind of nice. And let's see. Crystal, pick out one, protect on diff correctly. That's not bad. Anything jump out at you?
Yeah, a couple. Robin Hood hat has been tweaked for male characters to sit better on the head. Okay. Look at the picture I sent. Hopefully it sits like that, right?
Oh, God. It's like, wait, what was this one from? Like, oh, right. This.
Oh, that's got to be one of my favorites. Link is in the show notes for anybody who wants to see it. But go on.
Is it because you had a Worf who was a married man?
Yes, and the... Yeah, never mind.
Ukulele?
Yeah. Okay. Back on it. Next up, presets can now be loaded while an aura is active. You have no idea how annoying that was. That, you know, you'd be doing a farming run, you'd activate the Green Fingers aura beforehand, and, oh, can't load this preset because you have an aura active. Or you want to go to the bank and change loadouts during the middle of a Slayer task, but, oh, Vampirism's active, can't do that. Damn, too bad. Well, that's fixed, so I'm happy about that. Also, potions, flasks. 5 and 6 dose ones can now be decanted back to 4 doses, which is nice. And just a couple of little graphical changes here and there to do with farming oak trees. So good for the low-level farmers. And to cap it all off, I guess the snow effect in the console has been re-enabled. So if you activate the developer console by pressing Alt tilde, you can see a console that has snow in it. And tilde is the key next to the number 1 on your keyboard. That's all I got for that.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on to this week's little winter update, and it's all about the mini games. Castle Wars, Soul Wars, Pest Control, and what's the last one?
Tears of Guthix.
Bosses. Sure. Got the Cabbage Face Punch Bonanza with the Dominion Tower, counted as twice for purpose of rewards. So anyway, quick recap. Winter mini games this week will give you extra benefits, plus 1 golden ticket per game regardless of win, loss, or draw. Double commendation points for pest control and conquest, double bonus XP and gambling rewards from barbarian assaults. Bosses killing Dominion Towers count as twice per rest of reward unlocked. 50% Dominion factors are double produced at limit farms and extra 600 daily bonus points in Cabbage Face Punch Bonanza with double.
Okay.
One extra run of Tears of Guthix. And, all ports for just return 30% extra trade goods or resources with 25 voyages a day instead of 15.
You know, with this I might be able to complete my Sea Singer's, what are they called? The glove or the hat piece.
Helmet?
Yeah.
The head piece? Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Oh.
Hopefully.
Okay. Oh, and one little thing. Donate a bond to Oxfarm. You unlock the Oxfarm Festival Aura Babel. an item that can reset the XP gaining festive aura once per weekend day, doubling its benefits.
Oh, wow. I totally forgot about the festive aura this week. I've been too focused on the farming with green fingers to remember to activate festive aura and do something with that.
Do something with it. Man, I've been so busy. I haven't got on RS to even use the festive aura in the past 2 weeks. You know my busy lifestyle right now, man. I'm like,
So,
yeah.
What does it mean, one extra run of Tears of Guthix per day? Does that mean you can do Tears of Guthix once a day?
Should be twice.
Yeah, twice a day, I mean.
Oh, no, I mean, the idea, well...
Because it's a weekly thing, right?
Yeah, so the idea behind it is that you either do... For a request point, you can do the Tears of Guthix once per week, or you gain 100,000 experience for that week.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Wait for the weekend, you get an extra one? Mm-hmm. I should do it this weekend, though, one as well.
Yeah, exactly. Also, another little hint to everybody. If you do have the summoning level and you have access to the Elf City... definitely bring a light creature familiar along with you and cast its enlightenment ability. This will make it so that the green drops and Tears of Guthix do not subtract points from you.
Really? Didn't know
yep.
that. How would I do that again?
The light creature familiar, which you get from the Shadow Cores from doing divination in the Elf City. So it's kind of a process to get to the actual creatures and... you know, make the pouches for it. So I don't know if they're selling on the GE yet. But when they first came out, they were impossible to buy. I had to basically make all my own until I got my crystal seed from the agility course. So definitely look into doing that if you have the levels, because it can increase the amount of XP you get.
Okay.
But yeah, I should got to make sure those ports happen.
Take me back to ports.
Alrighty, on that note, moving on to the polling update for this week, just a reaction survey on the Dominion Tower improvements. 10%, not 20% enjoyed it. 4%, it was okay. 2% did not like. 46% want to play but haven't. 11% want to play but can. And 24% do not want to play it at all. I said it was okay.
All right. I honestly have no interest of trying it.
Okay.
This time period right now, anyway. Yeah, I told myself last year that I would be doing more boss hunting, and this whole year went by. I'm like, I still didn't do any boss hunting. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little bit, but not a lot. Not enough to really learn all the stuff.
Learn.
Yes.
Okay. Next.
Okay. And let me check a look at this here. So anyway, we have the behind the scene video for next week, which is gonna be a little bit of snowboarding. Take it away, Shane.
Yeah, so basically this is the final part of the Christmas event, it looks like. Probably the most interesting, I think, mainly because we do have a bit of a mini quest pertaining to this, and we get to do something that we've never done in RS before, and that is snowboarding in the Lumbridge Crater. Apparently the way it's going to work is we're going to be able to have snowboards and then level them up to rune and put decals on them and all sorts of interesting things like that. So it's a very nice kind of thing to do, and ultimately, before it comes out, I don't want to give it a rating, but if I was giving it a rating, I'd have to rate this as slightly worse than last year's Christmas event. But that's just me.
But you're Canadian, shouldn't you be out playing in the snow and all that stuff anyway?
Yeah, we could, but, I mean, that's the good thing about RS, is that people who don't have snow can actually get to see a bit of it, even if it's only virtual. And with that being said, pertaining to our question from a couple weeks back, when it comes to Christmas, that's what snow basically sets the mood for me. So it's a very nice thing to have around.
Okay.
And there's one other thing in this BTS video that I want to address. It goes back to the Christmas cracker, the giant cracker. Basically, in this video, they say that yeah, we realize that if you don't get to pull the cracker and if times aren't working out for you, you need a way to get the cracker pull emote. Well, they're going to be doing that, and the thing is just to make sure you deliver enough festive paper to Santa and deliver gifts, then that will ensure that you're able to get the cracker emote. So that will be coming in next week's update as well. So everybody who is concerned about not being able to get the cracker pull emote because of timing or just missing it or something else entirely, well, they got you covered next week. So yeah, it looks like that's going to be maybe the final update of the year, though I don't know when the Elf test set is coming because it wasn't mentioned by name as to what next week's behind the scenes video will be. So we'll have to look into that, I think.
All right.
Alrighty.
And quick little mini note, Solomon Store retro armor for Barrows is up. So if you want them, go and buy them, and that's about it.
Yeah, so many people wanted this one.
Why?
Well, I mean, lots of people view the olden days when Barrows first came out as the best time in RS, so that's exactly why they wanted a piece of armor like that. I mean, yeah, looking back on it, it's ugly. Like I can see the Darox one here. That just looks so low detail compared to what we have now. For Axe, that kind of looks the same. Though I must say the Carl's skirt, that does bring back the whole tight thing. If anybody who has been listening to this podcast for a good number of years will know that the Carl's skirt was once called a pair of tights by a former co-host of this podcast. So you can indeed get that one as an override.
You mean the kilt?
Yeah, well, they're all kilts, I guess.
That's the kilt. Oh, that didn't sound right. You gotta put on. Nah, can't do it anymore. It's out of my head.
I don't know.
Okay.
I would rather get the classic rune armor than get the old Barrows armor, because for me, I kind of like the way the Barrows armor currently looks. Anyways.
All right, and that's pretty much it for RS updates this week. And I guess we'll be going into questions now. So we have our first auto question from the Ah Man.
Whoa, this just in, Shane? Looks like Continuum's being renewed for a final fourth season. Only six episodes though, but man, that is so good that it's getting ending. There's way too many shows that end these days just boop, dead, nothing else happens. It's sad to hear you're going, Tricky, but have a good life and thanks for being on the podcast for the last couple years. I hope someone replaces you because there's only so much Star Trek I can hear about. I better put a question in here. Shane, this one's for you. Do you want to build a snowman? Peace out.
Oh, I forgot to make that joke in the beginning. Dang it, I knew I forgot something.
Why? What? Tell me.
You'll never understand. It's a modern thing.
Well, let me just say that it's warm enough here that if it was required or somebody wanted to, they could indeed build the snowman out here. I don't have any plans to do that this year, but it is definitely something we could probably look into maybe in January when we get another warm cycle, or in February, I don't know. Maybe an RSB&B snowman.
Yeah, do you want to build a snowman, Shane?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta learn to let it go and all that kind of stuff when it melts.
I'm sorry. I don't know what that means, and I think in that case it's a good time to answer the other parts of that and say that yes, the renewal of Continuum is indeed a good thing, and I think given the fact that the creator of that show did have a plan as to where he wanted it to go, and there was so much discussion of it online, Twitter, and whatnot, that definitely helped in terms of being able to secure at least some production of it. I also want to say another thing going for it is that it's got a primary Canadian cast. It's shot in Vancouver. It's also set in Vancouver, and that's something that Canadian cable networks look for, which is who it is indeed produced and funded by. So that is also another reason that it was given this chance. So, but yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in those final six. I know there's a couple of other Continuum people out there who listen, but maybe that'll be a discussion we'll have when that comes back next year.
Okay. I have nothing to really say about this one, except Shane, if I ever come up, would you build a snowman with me? We could go out and play.
Yes.
Whee! Yay!
Alrighty. Thank you, Mr. RR Man. The next one is from Forged. Dear host, what is your favorite poem?
You go first. Something Star Trek related, I take it?
Not necessarily, but I think you probably nailed it as to where I could have went with this. There's a whole bunch of...
You are not strong.
No.
That could be a whole poem right there.
Yeah, it could be. But there's a whole bunch of little poems and whatnot. I think the most common or most famous Star Trek one is the Ode to Spot from TNG episodes. But no, that's not my favorite poem. I was thinking of this for a good half hour before we were recording this, because back in high school, we did a poetry unit, and there was this one, I think it was a haiku, I could be wrong, that was very good. It was something to do with nature, water, and life.
Huh?
I can't remember much else about it. I don't remember the name. But that is one that I do remember liking quite a bit. I can't remember the name, but that's just the general topic. And also on that note, haikus are very nice because they're short, to the point. And that's the thing I really like about them, is that you have three lines to work with, or five if you're doing the other format, where you cram so much into it and there's so much meaning that... they can mean so many different things, and it's really up for the reader to interpret what's being said. So that's what I like about the haiku, is just because they're so short and they can cram so much into them.
And I got one poem that I used to read as a child, and that one always stuck with me. Well, two, I would say. One is The Raven, which everybody kind of knows. You know that one, Shane? What?
Did that go through the sound?
A little bit of buzzing.
Ah. Oh, yeah. Anyway. Okay, continue.
I'm sure you know The Raven, don't you, Shane?
Yep, I do.
All right, so that one's kind of famous. If you read it correctly, it's kind of nice. And my second favorite is The Bathroom Key.
What is that?
Come on, don't you know The Bathroom Key poem way back when?
Nope.
Sure you do.
No, I don't.
Okay, it goes, how dry I am, how wet I'll be, if I don't find the bathroom key. Found the key, but it's too late. I just missed my bathroom date.
Okay. I had never heard of that, but thank you. Thank you for that.
All right.
But yeah, you're right. The Raven, that's a very good one as well. I like the Edgar Allan Poe stuff. You know, I kind of like the dark nature of it in the same way that I really liked Shakespeare's Macbeth as being the favorite piece that I've ever read of that. So, yeah, The Raven. Anybody who hasn't read that should definitely look it up. Thank you for reminding me of that one. That one was really good.
And, of course, the most famous one rendering of that, and Shane hates it, has always been the little parody they did on The Simpsons, like way, way back when.
All right. And just for the record, I don't hate The Simpsons. I am indifferent to it. I've maybe watched one episode in my entire time. Anyways, Google Ode to Spot, if anyone's interested in some Star Trek poetry. We'll stop there, seeing as this episode has been full to the top of Star Trek references.
Okay.
Alrighty. Thank you, Forged. Great question. I like it when people ask stuff that's not common like that. Good job. If anybody wants to send in audio questions for next week's show, just send them to questions@rsbnb.com. We'll include it in much the same way we did with RR Mans. Or you can leave a voicemail on Skype. Just send it to RSBNB update, and we'll get it on the show. And I should also note that next week's show, being the 19th of December, will be your last chance to ask questions in the year of 2014. And I think the way the schedule is looking, we're coming back on the 9th of January. But wait till next week to hear whether or not that's solidified. So get those questions in for next week's show, seeing as we're going to have a couple-week break from questions.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
Hmm?
Hey.
Alrighty. We're going to move on to tech news now. Microsoft's Xbox boss says it's time to talk about gaming on Windows. That was the leader of the Xbox division making an announcement today that at a January 21st, 2015 event pertaining to Windows 10, there will be a good discussion going on about gaming on Windows. People might remember that a long time ago, there was something called Games for Windows Live. It was essentially tied into the Xbox Live system. That got shut down, seeing as, you know, there really was too much, there was no competition that it could offer to services like Steam and Origin, and very few developers, or publishers rather, I guess, actually embraced Games for Windows Live. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do this time around, given the Xbox's position, and maybe we'll see some integration on these two things. It's a very, very interesting thing that's going to be discussed, I think, as well as the unveiling of DirectX 12.
Okay. So you're telling me my computer now is obsolete?
The new one? No, you should be able to run DirectX 12 just fine on that, I think. I mean, it can run DirectX 11, so depending how big of a jump DirectX 12 is, it should work. But it might not, seeing as, you know, the direct jump between DirectX 9 and 10 was relatively big, and a whole bunch of GPUs did not support it, so... we'll have to see what the driver manufacturers do and what the actual software spec is of DirectX 12. Because the way it works, DirectX is the language that's used to write 3D games. As people probably know, there's an option on RuneScape to run it in DirectX mode. And basically what happens is Microsoft writes the runtime for DirectX that hooks into the video cards. So Microsoft generates a specification of what DirectX 12 can do, and then the video card manufacturers have to see, okay, can our current cards do this? If yes, let's add support to the drivers for that. If not, well, let's plan our future cards to be able to do that, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I think Windows Live could have been a whole lot bigger if they actually... We, you know, us PC gamers back in the day were given Halo and Halo 2, and then it was like, okay, maybe we'll get Halo 3, and then Halo 3 like, nope, not coming on Windows. All right, fine. And then they said, oh, what are they going about doing a cross-platform with Xbox 360 or Xbox One now? And we'll have you play with, I guess, Windows people. And I was like, nope, scratch that too. So I was like, well, all right, what do you guys offer? Xbox Live. Well, I pay for the service, and you charge me for the money, and I still get ads in it.
Where are the ads in this? When was this? Because I don't. Or I mean, I guess if you're talking about featured content, then yeah, that is an ad.
I mean, you know, I remember reading it back in the day when, you know, the PS3 and Xbox things were, you know, still very much in the whole fanboy craze, and like, remember someone says, saying that, I still get ads even though I pay $50 a year. And I asked Mike, and I was like, do you guys seriously, you have an Xbox account and all that, so you guys pay for the thing and you get ads? It's like, yeah, we do. That doesn't make sense. You pay for it already.
Let's just remember that that's the same thing as cable. It's like saying that with a cable subscription, you shouldn't get ads on your TV show.
Yeah, it's called well, nowadays it's called HBO.
Yeah, but still. Nonetheless, Netflix. There needed to be some tighter integration with Xbox and Windows way back when, and it's really too bad that this has taken so long to happen, given that, you know, both gaming platforms are rich in their own way right now. Xbox One and Xbox Live is very nice. The games you can play on your Windows computer are nice, but the thing is, most people who play games on Windows do use something called Steam, and Steam is pretty fine on its own, so people do not want another kind of Steam thing with
Windows. Most people didn't have a choice.
what do you mean?
So many games that are on Steam that most Windows players don't really have much of a choice. They have to use Steam one way or another. You have UB Play and what's the EA
Origin?
Origins. So Microsoft's going to have another one. It's like, you're never going to just be able to play just offline.
Yeah, and I mean, that is the one thing that this thing, when it comes out, needs to not be. It needs to be something other than a Steam or Origin clone in order to be effective. And there needs to be a good integration between your Xbox Live gamer tag and the gamer tag you have on games for Windows. And in my view, here's what an ideal solution would look like. One, publishers, if they choose, are able to put a game on games for Windows or on the Xbox, both or one. Okay? That's stance number one of what this game store could do. It wouldn't upend Steam or anything like that, but it would be an option, much the same way you can get various games on both Origin and Steam. Number two, it would provide a link between your gamer tag we've had for so long on the Xbox and Windows 10, giving gamers a reason to upgrade. And number three, I think, which is kind of a long shot at this point, but given that it's been done by Steam and others, and I think Microsoft does have the ability to pull this off.
Integrate Twitch?
No.
Okay.
Streaming. Stream between your... No. Just wait. Stream between your Xbox and your computer, or vice versa. So let's say you buy an Xbox game, or you buy some game, and it's PC only. Well, let's say you want to play it on your TV. You have Windows 10, you have an Xbox, you can link that up, play the game that's PC only, run it, process it on your computer, stream it over your network to your Xbox in the same way that Steam in-home streaming works like that. And same thing like that. Run your Xbox games on the Xbox, stream it over to a computer screen. I think that would be the holy grail of integration for Microsoft's gaming platform. I don't know if that's something they could do, but they need something that is going to make it appealing aside from the way Steam looks.
Well, all they need now is just a Microsoft handheld game, game system.
That's called Windows Phone.
Yeah, but no one really likes bothers with Nokia anymore.
Well, no, they're going to be making them through other manufacturers now in 2015.
Yeah, like I said, many years ago, they have to find that niche of why I should go from Android or Apple into Windows, and they still haven't really done that yet.
Exactly,
and plenty of ads for them.
And that's the problem with Microsoft. They, you know, have these great ideas and whatnot, but they're late to the party most of the time. And the question is, how do you catch up on something like that?
All right.
You can't. It's hard. Anyways, moving on. Microsoft has added Bitcoin payment options for Xbox games and mobile content. So you can essentially use your Bitcoin wallet now and add money to your Microsoft account in denominations of $10, $15, $25, $50, $75, and $100.
Okay.
I don't suppose you have Bitcoins?
If I did, would I be here? I'd probably have a nice little army of computers doing Bitcoins or whatever the hell they do. All I know is you leave your computer on to get Bitcoins. Okay, that's about it. Then get hacked and lose everything. Oh, man.
Yeah, and that is with something true with Bitcoins, is that they're just like real currency. You lose them, well, there's no way of tracking them. Anyways, but basically this is limited to people in the U.S. only. It can be used to purchase everything, so apps, games, videos, and it's not only limited to the Xbox Store, but it's also available on Windows and Windows Phone. So this, I think, is one of the first large companies of the big three, Google, Apple, Microsoft, that's actually embracing Bitcoin in such a way. So very nice to see, I think. And, you know, it's in some ways surprising because I never thought Bitcoin would end up taking off like this. But I was wrong. Me.
I've never been in a stock market, so.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of what it felt like in the early days with Bitcoin, is because you don't know how much it's going to be worth. Are these little things that were running on our computer going to be able to, you know, hold value and whatnot? But it looks like they have. There's also a $5,000 maximum that you can use. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very interesting to see. Alrighty. And seeing as it is December and the year is coming to a close, you know what that means?
Clip show?
Well, rewind? Yeah. A clip show of YouTube, so to speak. YouTube Rewind, turned down for 2014. Is it odd that I have not seen any of these videos this year?
Well, let me take a look. If you and I are the same thing, might be. Let me see.
I mean, there's a whole list of them here.
So it's, well, the thing is that before, when it comes to hot and new, it's always been kind of blaster in your face, but now since it's more of like you choose what you want. A little different. Rewind.
I have no idea what this is.
Oh, turn down for what? I know what that one is.
What was that? Tell me.
Turn down for what?
Inform me. Make me know.
Inform you?
Yes.
Okay, inform you. Turn down for what? Bouncing jigs. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Some other things that are on this one. Action Movie Kid, Elchi Ono, Anil B, Ape Crime, Bart Baker, Big Bird, Brett Nichols. These are a whole bunch of things that are on here. Hannah Hart, How It Should Have Ended, Hi Justine, Jimmy Kimmel. All these sorts of things are on here for the most viral videos of the year. And for anybody who's not watched a Rewind video before, essentially what the Rewind videos are is a way of looking at top videos of the year, except they're parodied. So you have a famous video and then you make it just slightly different in terms of this for the YouTube Rewind and associate it with actual videos that went out this year and sound. You can find out more at youtube.com/rewind and find all the very interesting videos for your region of the year. Like, for example, the top trending video in Canada was apparently Superwoman and Humble the Poet. Then there's also music videos, global videos, but yeah.
Okay.
Have a look, youtube.com/rewind.
Rewind!
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. I guess now we have all tech news is done. We have Skill of the Month.
Yeah, what do we got?
We got, actually, it's not that bad. It's actually quite interesting. Skill of the Month what is it again? Hit point total. Total hit points, HP, so Constitution. I was wondering why I don't know, my brain wasn't clicking. Anyway, we have Flash, who gained 700,000 XP. X-Blade, who got 620k. Mage Guy 08, and Thur, who is 583. So, relatively still semi-close.
Nice.
And a lot of flat lines near the bottom. Clear!
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, hit points, so I don't blame anyone for, you know, not fully participating in this. Well, because it's hit points, and you can trade it in so many ways, it's just kind of okay, but keep it up, everyone. The month isn't even half over. I know you all are probably getting tired and bored of the skill of the month, but do keep fighting for the skill of the year competition. Even if you're not winning, see how much XP you can end up winning in 2014. Yeah, that's coming too. Skill of the year. I think I already know who won, but I won't break anyone's hopes and dreams about who has this one in the bag, likely. But anyways, thank you.
Okay, and yeah, so I guess we have next up is achievements of the week. We have two achievements this week. We got Mr. Pietro, who got 99 runecrafting on December 9th.
Congratulations, Mr. Informer Writer.
And Parnassius, who got 120 Dungeoneering on December 7th.
I think this is the first real 120 Dungeoneering that we've ever seen on our high scores come through as an achievement of the week. Anybody else who has already had this did ultimately get it before they became registered, so...
Okay.
Congratulations on getting the true mastery of Dungeoneering. So that's a very good thing to have. And I bet you're asking yourself, what is going to be happening with Floor 61? And that's good. I always love seeing lore get advanced in game. But I got to ask you, when are you getting 120?
I'm 112 and you don't go with me.
Well, I can't go with you. I can't do all the floors that you can do.
So you have to do all the floors. You can do the one lower ones with you or with me. Take your pick.
Yeah, I got. What's my Dungeoneering level? Forget 90. How did I get 90 Dungeoneering?
Sinkhole.
Right. Alrighty. Well, congratulations to you too. You have a pick of the week for us?
Actually, I do not.
Okay, I have a pick of the week. I actually got two, and I was on the fence, you know, all the way of coming to do the show this week here. So I need to ask you, do you want a pick of the week that everyone can benefit from?
Or do you want a
pick of the week that is kind of niche and like 0.1% of the people who listen to the show will be able to use?
You want your 1%? Fine, go take your 1%.
Alrighty, I will save this pick of the week for next time, whenever that might be. Okay, well, I am going to explain this one in as easy of a language that I can use. Mm-hmm. Now, basically, for people who write code for OS X or iOS, there is a technology that's provided by Apple that is called Auto Layout. And what this does is it basically allows you to build your user interfaces in such a way that you don't need to touch really any code with them, and you can do pretty amazing things most of the time with Auto Layout. It's a new feature as of 10.7, aka the Lion. And, you know, granted, like I said, only 0.1% of you guys out there are going to actually use this, but it's still interesting to talk about. It is a library for iOS and Mac programming that is called Pure Layout. It's open source, and what it does is lets you create auto layout based layouts for your user interfaces in code without really writing any of the complex visual formatting code that Apple's auto layout documentation suggests that you use. So in a way, it's basically a way of ensuring that the code you write is going to be correct and it's going to work. Mm-hmm. So if you're at all interested in building UIs or doing anything like that in terms of Mac programming or iOS programming, this is definitely something that you should look at. It's called Pure Layout, available on GitHub, and link is in the show notes.
Cool.
Yeah, so like I said, 0.1% of people who are listening are going to actually use this, but for those who would find a use out of this, it can be a lifesaver in the situations that you're put in.
Alrighty.
Yes. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Not a coder anyway.
All right. And I guess I'll just take this time and highlight to everybody out there that we are still looking for clips for the clip show that is happening at the end of this year. So if you want to send those clips in, just head on over to update.rspb.com/clips and send us your clips. You can basically send clips in that are a couple minutes long, 30 seconds long. Just tell us what the clip is, what episode, and most importantly, where we can find it in that episode, and we will use it. So that's update.rsbnb.com/clips. Very fun indeed.
How many do we have so far?
I haven't checked, so I need to go have a look in the spreadsheet.
Check next time. Don't spoil it yet. Although yeah, we have a decent number from this year from two of us, a couple of us anyway.
Oh yeah, and that's something that I always do is that when it comes time for it at the end of the year, I do maintain my own bank of clips for the clip show and whatnot. So it is something that I do as well. So we're not entirely reliant on you listeners out there. But if you listeners sent in a trove of clips and you know you wanted all those ones in, I would greatly put those in at the expense of mine. All right.
So Shane, what have you been up to?
Well, this week, aside from a bit of programming, on RS, as I said, going for the Seasinger set, hoping to finally get that complete. This one's being almost as elusive as the first Tetsu set was. So I hope that'll be done and that it can be done with this weekend's extra resource weekend from ports. So fingers crossed on that. But in addition to that, just been doing some, well, as I mentioned in our little secrets segment, last week, fundraising for farming. So I am back daily farming now. So that's always nice with that. And it's very fundable to get a good amount of farming XP per day. So it is something that is doable just with minimal effort compared to that. So it's good fun. Just been delivering the Christmas presents and have not got anything from the special snowballs yet, unfortunately.
Nor have I.
Yeah. There was someone who knew someone in chat. Sorry, I forget whose name that was. But their friend got both the Christmas loot beam and the holly wreath.
You hate him?
Well, I wouldn't say hate, but he's a little bit...
envy him?
Yeah.
A little envious?
Envious is a good way of describing it. So, yeah. So.
All right.
Trying for that. I don't know. I had my luck last year. How about you?
Well, decided to do a little divination from last weekend because they were giving me a little bit of extra. So I did. I got from 85 to 88 divination. I need to get myself to 91. And managed to get 95 runecrafting from RuneSpan, which is kind of nice. So yay for that.
Oh, wow. You're going for 99?
No, I just... went for it because close to it. I was like, just wrap it up. And yeah, ever since Black Friday, I've been ordering parts for my new toy, and finally all the toys came in. So, yay!
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 When's it being put together?
Maybe tomorrow. But
oh, good.
Anyway, I bought all the parts for my new computer because that's how I treated myself, because I haven't treated myself in over 5 years because I was poor. Still poor. But, well, anyway, finally decided to treat myself over this and building myself a new computer. I'm going to swap my hard drive from over there into the new one. I plan to tonight to kind of get all the files that I want to keep from my C drive into my terabyte one, and at the end probably reformat the C drive just so that I have a nice slate and start fresh. Then put my other hard drives back in there, update everything, and yeah. So I'm excited, Shane, my new tongue.
Ouch.
You know what? Here's the thing that you'll hate, Shane, about me. I had to go and return the power supply from Newegg that I got because I didn't need it anymore. And it took me, let's see, I bought it. Yeah, I've been working on returning that for 2 weeks since I ordered it on Black Friday or around Black Friday. Finally, gave it to UPS, and the reason I fought tooth and nail for it was told me to pay for restocking fee and shipping fee. I'm like, I ain't paying jack. I was like, you pay for everything back, because I tried to cancel it before it was ordered and shipped up, but he said I couldn't do it. And at the Indian, who said, like, well, you have to pay for the restocking fee and shipping. No. Do you want to see the chat that I copied? Oh, no, it's good. All right, we'll do everything free. Yay! So literally, I opened the box to make sure that it was what it was, slap on the label, slap on the other barcode that they wanted, taped it back up, put it back to UPS. And yesterday we had a nice giant storm in the Bay Area, which caused some floodings here and there. Man, okay. I have never driven 40 miles on the freeway without some Asian lady in front of me.
Okay, so a couple things with that. That's a good lesson for everybody out there in consumerism in general, is that if there's a problem like that where, you know, something automated didn't go right, try and push to get it set straight your way. Definitely.
Actually, yes, and go early. And other thing, too, is that a while ago during Halloween, my uncle wanted to order something for my cousin. However, it didn't come here before Halloween because they waited too stupidly long to try and order it. I returned it around early November. I still didn't get anything back, so I went back to Amazon and I said, where my money? Ooh, here it is. I was like, really? Took you a month to process this? Really?
Did they give you more than you initially gave them?
No. Should have pushed for it.
Too bad. Too bad.
You know what? Just getting it back is good enough for me.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So I guess we'll be seeing some increased FPS.
I don't know. I have to figure out how to connect the internet to it, because it's not exactly can't exactly make it a wireless situation for this one.
Yeah, we'll work on that. Anyways, good to hear, and hopefully everybody has enjoyed these little stories. Maybe I'll have more next week. We'll wait and see on that. But once again, thank you everybody for joining us on RSBNB Update. Remember to send those clips in, and of course, probably most importantly, the questions. The last questions topic for 2014 will be posted on Monday. You can find that at rsbnb.com/forums. And with that being said, we are out for this week. You have anything to add before we go?
Stay warm if you're in the winter places, and if you're down under, stay cool because it should be hot as heck down there. And stay dry because look good lure. It hasn't rained in a while, and a lot of water has been coming down from the sky.
Yep. Alrighty, well, with that being said, we'll see you next week, everybody. And if you want to keep tabs on us during the middle of the week, just head on over to Twitter at RSBNBStaff. You can see whatever we're up to all throughout the week. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.